This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The third juz of the Quran, the third night of recitation, is Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 253 to the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. And also the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, verses 1-92. So that's what the third juz is made up of. Now, the verse that I picked for you, inshallah ta'ala, is from Surah Ali Imran, verse number 8. What is this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Allah says that they say, and we'll talk about who they are or those people are, our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate, do not let our hearts go astray after you have guided us, and grant us your mercy. Indeed, you are the Al-Wahhab, the granter or the giver of all bounties. Now, before we talk about, you know, this dua right here, it's a beautiful dua for us to ameen. Jazakallah khair to everyone who's saying ameen. Before we get into this dua, who is it that is saying this dua? Why? Who is Allah mentioning that they are the ones who make this dua? All we have to do is to go to the previous verse. The previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. He is the one who has revealed to you the book, meaning the Qur'an. مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Of the Qur'an, or from the Qur'an, there are certain verses that are, we can say, very clear, very precise. هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. They are the foundation of the book. And then Allah says, وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. And there are other verses that are not that clear or not that specified. Now, this is actually a very important verse as well. We could reflect upon this verse, but I'm afraid we would need a lot more time to do that. And that's why I picked the next verse. But from the Quran, there are things that we all understand very clearly. You don't need to even study tafsir a lot of times. You can just read the translation, or if you know Arabic, you can read the words of the verse, and it's very clear to you. You understand what this verse means. There are other verses that, for the layman, for the average person, you need more training, you need more knowledge, you need more understanding to really benefit from, to really get the most out of those verses. And this is why, in actuality, we have a principle in Islam given to us from the Quran, something that, you know, we consider a Quranic principle, where Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So those are the people who are qualified to give us the correct answers. So regarding these mutashabihat, these verses that are not clear to everyone, that they are, that require, you know, a certain level of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٍ. That as for those people who have some deviation in their hearts, they have something wrong, some ill will in their hearts, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. That they follow those unspecified verses. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about someone who takes a verse that face value, the meaning is not just directly clear to everyone. If they want to misinterpret, or they want to interpret Islam in a way that fulfills their own desires, they will use those unspecified, so-called unclear verses to change take the meaning away from what the actual meaning is to fit their own desires. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. This is why Allah says ibtigha al-fitna, that they do this seeking to spread some fitna, وابتغاء تأويل فتنة, you know, something which is, we can say this is a type of a doubt, right? Some type of a problem that they have their interpretation, and they will use these unclear verses to try and get other people to follow them in this deviation that they have, and they seek this false interpretation of these verses. And then Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That no one truly grasps them or understands or knows the meaning of these verses, these unspecified verses, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is on the level that Allah knows and understands the meaning of these verses, not everyone has that ability. And our scholars of tafsir, one of the examples they give of this is the letters that are found at the beginning of certain verses. For example, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says Alif Lam Mim. What does Alif Lam Mim actually mean? Well, we know that there are letters from the Arabic language. We know that there are letters by which the Quran is made up. But why exactly did Allah put Alif Lam Mim at the beginning of this surah? The full extent of that meaning, only Allah knows. We know, and the scholars of Islam, they know to a certain level what the meaning is. For example, one of the wisdoms that they give is, this is to show the miraculous nature of the Quran, that the miraculous nature of the Quran is so amazing that it comes about through a language that we know and we understand, right? So those of you who speak Arabic, Alif Lam Mim is not something foreign to you. The letters Alif Lam Mim, we understand those language, and we understand those letters. We know those letters. But can we produce something like the Quran? No, we're not. We don't have the ability to use those same letters, but to produce something like the Quran, we don't have that ability. So to show us the miraculous nature of the Quran, Allah has given us those letters. That's one interpretation of why Allah has put those letters at the beginning of certain surahs. The true extent of that, only Allah knows. Now, the next part of this verse, Allah says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and those who are well-grounded in knowledge. Now, one of the interpretations of this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, that the true meaning of these verses are known only by Allah and those who are well-grounded in their knowledge. Another interpretation of this is that we start the sentence from here, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that those who are well-grounded in knowledge, what do they say regarding these verses? They say, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ, they say, we believe in it. Even though we may not know the full extent of the wisdom here, we believe in it. كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, all of this is from our Lord, meaning they don't try to attach their own desires or their own interpretation that, you know, can misinterpret the Quran. And then Allah says, وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, that only those who are sound in their reasoning and understanding will be mindful of this matter. Meaning that the vast majority of us, what is the responsibility upon us? Our responsibility is that even if we are not الراسخون في العلم, even if we're not well grounded in our knowledge, at least we have enough reasoning to say this is all from our Lord and we believe in it. So these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about when we get into today's verse, where Allah says, they say, ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا, our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. And this is especially relevant for us, because I would imagine that, you know, most people here today listening in and watching in, I would imagine that most of us are Muslim. And so if we are Muslim, we identify as Muslim, our hearts to a certain level have already been guided. But just because our hearts are guided, or saying that our hearts are guided, is not a guarantee that our hearts will remain guided. And going back to yesterday's reflection, we talked about the dua that we make for guidance in every single salah, every single prayer. We say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, our Lord, guide us to the straight path. Well, if we think that we have our guidance is guaranteed, and once we become Muslim, we cannot go astray, and once we become Muslim, we have the answer to every question in the world, then we wouldn't make that dua in every single prayer, every single rak'ah, every single unit of prayer. We wouldn't be saying, our Lord, we wouldn't be pleading with Allah, oh Allah, guide my heart to the truth, guide my heart to the right path. But we continue to do that because we know and we understand that even after being Muslim, even after having access to the guidance, and this is a point of reflection here, that we are reading, we are reciting the source of our guidance, the Quran. Even as we are reciting the source of our guidance, we are still asking Allah to not only guide our hearts in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, as we said, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, but we are pleading with Allah, do not let our hearts be deviated after you have guided our hearts, after you have shown us the correct path. And then بعد إذ هديتنا, after you have guided us. And this is the point to be made here, that sometimes even the Quran, and this may sound controversial, but I assure you it is not controversial, the Quran can be a source of misguidance for people. Now let me qualify what I'm saying here. People can use the Quran to mislead people. And let me ask you, does that happen? Yes or no? Do people use the Quran to mislead people? Absolutely. Think about people who commit acts of terrorism and then they quote the Quran, right? They say, the Quran tells us to do this, this, and this. Is the quotation incorrect? No, the Quran is guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is incorrect is their interpretation and application of those verses. And so having the Quran, having access to that guidance, yes, that is very, very important, but also having the correct interpretation and the correct meanings of that, not using the Quran to mislead people or to be misleaded, is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why part of this dua is وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, that grant us your mercy. The rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, covers all of the mercy of Allah. We're asking here, when we make this dua, and inshallah after today, we're going to be making this dua, we ask for all of Allah's mercy. But first and foremost, the context of this is that we're asking for Allah's mercy in not being misguided. And then even more, if you want to get more specific than that, we're asking for Allah's mercy in not being misguided with the actual guidance that we have, with the Quran or with the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why it is important that we continually ask Allah for guidance and we continually ask Allah for this mercy. Innaka antal wahhab. We say, certainly you are the giver of all bounties. You are the one, once again, Allah is the source. So if Allah is the one who has given us the message, Allah has given us the Quran, then Allah is also the one who has the ability to give us the correct understanding of the Quran. And likewise, this applies to all of Allah's other bounties as well. But we said specifically here, we're talking about the bounty, the rahmah, all of that. Of what? Of the correct guidance, of being guided to that which is correct. And notice here, and this is another point of reflection, that we said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا, that, oh, our Lord, do not let our hearts be deviated. What does that mean to you? Why are we specifically asking or referring to our heart? And I want you to think about this for a minute. Why are we referring back to our heart here? Why are we asking our hearts? Because an argument could be made that, you know, we don't want our minds to be misled, right? We don't want our logic to be incorrect. What is the wisdom here? Why is the heart important? And why is your heart important to you? The heart, al-qalb, the heart is the turner. Allah is the turner of the hearts. Yes, Allah can turn the hearts. That is very correct. And this is why one of the du'as that we make taught to us by Aisha radiallahu anha, she says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the du'as he would frequently make is, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your deen, upon your religion or your way of life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha. Certainly in the body there is a mudgha, there is a piece of meat, a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If it is doing okay, then the rest of the body will be okay as well. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If it is ruined or corrupted, then the rest of the body will be corrupted as well. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Certainly that is the heart. Now think about the rest of the body, right? Is our mind part of the rest of the body? Yes. So heart is corrupted, then the mind can follow as well, right? And this is why the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he said, التَّقْوَى هَهُنَا, taqwa, piety. He pointed at the person's, at the sahabi's chest. He said, التَّقْوَى هَهُنَا, taqwa is right here in the heart. Meaning you take care of the heart, and everything else will follow. If the heart is corrupted, all the logic and evidence in the world will be meaningless, right? SubhanAllah, you know, people talk about, you know, what's the proof for the existence of God or whatever. A person whose heart is sound and his heart is doing fine, they will see the evidence for God in everything that is around them. This is why the Bedouin, you know, they would say that when you ask a Bedouin, what is the evidence for the existence of God? The Bedouin would be shocked, because the Bedouin out in the desert says, look around you. Everything in existence, everything around us is evidence of a creator. And that is why the heart, a heart is so important. Yes, our mind is important. Logic is important. Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, do not use your aql, do not use your intellect. That is important. But if the heart is corrupted, then even sound logic will not be of any benefit to us. How many people spend countless, even not minutes, but hours in worship, maybe just out of habit, or maybe just because it's, you know, it's just become ritualistic, right? You know, everybody's praying, so I'm praying. Or in Ramadan now, you know, look, think about how many people, you know, I know things are different because of COVID and all that, but, you know, in previous years, Taraweeh, people go to Taraweeh, they pray, you know, they'll pray for 2-3 hours. But how many people's hearts are truly connected to that prayer, right? It's the heart that needs to be connected to the prayer for us to truly benefit. You know, once again, you know, yesterday we spoke about, you know, there's all this focus on just getting through the Quran, right? Let's just get through the Quran. Let's just, you know, recite it and finish it, which is good. Alhamdulillah, there's reward in reciting the Quran. But to get true benefit out of the Quran, there has to be a presence, the presence of our heart. It's beautiful how, subhanAllah, someone who has come to Islam at a particular time in their life, this verse takes on, like, I don't want to say more special, right, extra special, but special in a different way. It becomes special in a different way. Having, you know, when we say, ba'da idh hadaytana, after you have guided us, do not let our hearts go astray. It's like, you know, we're holding on. And look, you may or may not have experienced this, but I know a lot of people who came to Islam at a certain point in their life. I certainly have experienced this, that just because someone becomes Muslim, it doesn't mean everything's easy after that. You have to continue to work. We have to continue to work for this guidance. And that's an active role. And sometimes, you know, you really have to, we have to hold on, because we will be tested and we will be tried. In our faith, we will be tested. And will be tried, as you know, as many people are, even if they're born into Islam. And that is why this dua once again becomes so significant. And it's actually very special. You know, there are people who every day are misled, are, you know, taken away from the correct path, even though guidance is all around them. You know, sometimes a person can be very close to guidance, and still, you know, their hearts can be led astray. And we see this even in the stories of the prophets, which I'm sure you're going to get to, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and Nuh, alayhi salam, his own son, right? And likewise, you know, the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had family members who did not accept Islam. His own uncle, who the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pleaded with on his deathbed to say la ilaha illallah, the heart just could not accept it. And so this is why, you know, this becomes so significant.